I came from Kansas, moved down here and first time in 72, came off of a harvest crew. We were cutting wheat in West Texas, but I'd already got my degree in electrical engineering, but just didn't have any jobs. So I started Texas Instruments and got started in optoelectronics, and basically that's what I've been in all my life. That's why I'm actually going to base this lesson more around what I'm used to, is how to handle it as an engineering question. So that's why I'm saying the title is Salvation. Is it predestined or free will? And I'll approach the answer to this question similar to how I might analyze an engineering problem by performing a hypothesis evaluation. And the hypothesis statement is salvation is predestined. And my challenge was I wanted to prove it wrong. Let me go about a few of the definitions. Predestination is the doctrine that God, in consequences of his foreknowledge of all events, infallible guides those who are destined for salvation. Predestined is to destine, decree, determine, anoint, or settle beforehand. And predestinate, to foreordain to an earthly or eternal lot or destined by divine decree. Now, the term predestination doesn't actually show up in the Bible, but predestined and predestinate do show up in the Bible, each in two verses. Basically, the sources, you have to have data when you're doing a hypothesis analysis. So the data that I'll be using is, of course, the King James Bible. Then Life Application Study Bible, that's a Bible I use. It has notes that give reference to the different scriptures. I've used a couple of places with Matthew Henry Commentary. I pull from that. And then I use this website called Got Questions. It's from Got Questions Ministries. Michael Hoodman is kind of in charge of that. Now, to define a little bit more about a hypothesis, it's a claim or statement or property of a population. But a better way of saying it is a tentative assumption made to draw out and test its logical or empirical consequences originally in or based on observation or experience. So that's what we're trying to do. We want to look at data to define whether, you know, what does the Bible say? Is it predestined, or is it free will? If you're like most people, I mean, the way I was brought up, it was always free will. There was no term on predestined. In this analysis, the data that will be used, like I said, will be from the King James Bible. And I refer to 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So that pretty well gives me a solid thing to get started there. Now, using the website Got Questions, it helped me to pull some verses that I could relate to for doing the research. Now, if you want to turn to your Bible, there's basically only four verses in our Bible that actually use the term predestinate or predestinated. And the first two are in Romans 8, verses 29 and 30, and then in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and 11. We'll start first with Romans 29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, from the notes of the my Bible, it said some believe these verses mean that before the beginning of the world, God chose certain people to receive his gift of salvation. They point to verses such as Ephesians 1:11. which says God chose us in advance and that he makes everything work out according to his plan. Others believe that God knew in advance who would respond to him and whom he set his mark. He chose them. It is clear that God's purpose for people was not an afterthought. It was settled before the foundation of the world. People are to serve and to honor God. If you believe in Christ, you can rejoice that God has always known you. God's love is eternal. His wisdom and power are supreme. He will guide and protect you until one day stand in his presence. So that, you know, I mean, that pretty much tells us, kind of got me off base right away about where I was thinking I was going with this. But be patient. There's still some other things to analyze. Now, Ephesians 1:5 and 1:11, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, that refers to that God decided in advance to adopt us. And another way of saying that salvation is God's work and not our own doing, in his infinite love. God has adopted us in his own children through Jesus' sacrifice. He has brought us in his family and made us the heirs among Jesus. In Roman law, adopted children had the same rights and privileges as biological children, even if they had been slaves. Paul used this term to show how strong our relationship to God is. And then in Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worked all things after the counsel of his own will. God's purpose is to offer salvation to the world just as he planned long ago. God is sovereign. He is in charge. When your life seems chaotic, rest in the truth. Jesus is Lord and God is in control. God's purpose to save you cannot be thwarted no matter what Satan may bring. Now these are what I've been reading. This is actually out of my notes of my Bible. Now, one of the things I did go back and, sometimes when we just pull verses out here and there, we don't get the whole story. And that's one thing that I've learned from both the pastor and Brother Rick. You got to look at the whole story. And so you need to go back sometimes and look at more just the reference verses. So I did go back to Romans again and read the two verses before 29 and 30. And that's in Romans 8:27, and this is 8:28. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now the reference note said, note that God is not working to make us happy, but to fulfill his purpose. Note also that the promise is not for everybody. It can be claimed by those who love God and are called by him, that is, those whom the Holy Spirit convinces to receive Christ. But in these two verses, there's no mention of predestination. Now, as I was looking in more of this website, I was looking at more of their answers of different things about, you know, that it was really pushing hard that, you know, salvation is predestined. What I also found was that they are very supportive of Calvinism. Now, I'm not that much knowledge, I have no knowledge on it other than just what I've heard there and that. But what I can tell you is what I did find off the website. If you haven't studied Calvinism or never been involved with it, basically they say it can be summed up by the acronym TULIP. And TULIP stands for these different things. T stands for total depravity. U is for unconditional election. L is for limited atonement. And I is for irresistible grace. And P is for preference of the saints. Now, really, of all these items, the only item that is stressed in this is the unconditional election, defined as the doctrine of election, which that's a new term I had never heard before either. So that got in, and of course, that led me to one of the things, and this is direct quotes off of the website, and it states, no, it's impossible for someone to be saved without being elected by God to salvation. This site refers then to the doctrine of election. Also from this website, the biblical doctrine of election teaches that God chooses to save, and by necessity, if he does not choose everyone, then there are some who are passed by. Those whom he has chosen to save are referred to as the elect. This is based on the following verse, which is Mark 13:20. And it states, and except that the Lord has shortened days, no flesh should be saved but for the elect's sake. Whom he has chosen, he has shortened the days. And basically that refers to the chosen ones are God's chosen people, who are those that are saved. Anyway, like I said, the deeper I got into this, the deeper I got. The other things I did find about the elect, it says, well, in 2 Timothy 2:10, it says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's state, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And this is from Matthew Henry. It says, the elect are designated to obtain salvation. God hath not anointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Well, then that brought me up to something that I'd heard before, that when we talk about the wrath and everything, that the wrath said that the hell was created for devils and angels, not for man. And that was stated in Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So that, you know, so that's saying that, well, the other, you know, other humans, or whatever we want to state it as, other people, hell was not meant for them when it was in set. So what I was believing there is, well, maybe what they're talking about the elect is actually all humans. But I can't prove any of that. I didn't get far enough into that. But what I mean, now what I wrote here was, so would this now mean that all men and women who were created to be elect so that salvation would be possible, but not guaranteed, since hell was originally made only for the devils and his angels? Most of us, and I state that as a guess really right now, but I believe from our backgrounds, we're raised believing that we would accept salvation was our own choice. It wasn't predetermined. When I was young, in my 20s, which was a few years back, one of the things, and I believe the pastor's mentioned it here, I'm sure he has, is the Roman road was one of the things that we always was to show to new believers. And I used to keep it in my Bible, but I couldn't find it. I went through a couple of Bibles since then. And in fact, except for this one right here, this Bible was given to me by my mother and father on my 26th birthday. It was right after I was baptized in a Free Will Baptist church in Salina, Kansas, which I also dunked the pastor there too. Just a habit, I guess. Anyway, this is what I found was why is being a good person not good enough for God? And then these are the verses, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And Romans 5:12, wherefore, as one man sinned into the world, and the death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And then what happens after you die? That's covered in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then also in John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So what is the solution to sinning? It's in Romans 5:8, but God commandeth his love towards us, that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not by none of yourself. It is the gift of God in Ephesians 2:9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then what is the salvation plan? Well, that's covered in Romans 10:9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, go down to the notes. I didn't see a little note saying down below, says with a little asterisk buying, this is only true if you've been predestined. So just a little comment there. Anyway, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, I'll go on now talking a little bit more about free will. And this is kind of more what I feel about, these are in my own words, but well, the definition isn't, that's out of that. But what I will read after that will be something that I've written. This is the definition of free will. Freedom of humans to make choices that are not determined by prior causes or by divine intervention. I believe that God gave us free will for a purpose. If God had selected people who would receive salvation before they were born, what was the purpose of us having born on this planet? Is it only to judge us for our works? I understand that God is omniscient. He knows everything that happens and what will happen. God is above anything that we can comprehend. He has created the planet, the land, the water, the vegetation, the animals, and human life. Even at that, it's so small when you look at the universe. Distant galaxies and planets have discovered light years away from us. Some planets are so large that comparing them to Earth would be like placing a basketball next to a type period on a paper. I believe several events documented in the Bible are predestined to happen. Two of those prophesied events were, of course, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ and the end of times. Those are covered in Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelations. So I'll go on to this, say that, you know, do Calvinists believe, say this takes place before we were even born? Why does it only appear in the New Testament after Jesus was crucified and risen? Would this be also true in the Old Testament? I don't have an answer for that. It's just another question that's come up in this research I've been doing. I still question the idea that so many things are predestined. Why are they? Why are they here? I believe God gave us free will for a reason. Once we have left this world, we have only two things to take with us. First, there's our spirit, and second, what we've accomplished here in growing the kingdom of God and following God's word. If the selection of who will be saved has already been established, what have we actually accomplished? The word salvation appears in 43 verses in the New Testament. Receiving salvation is not covered in all of those verses, but the following are some that I believe are applicable. And first one is Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name than heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. Basically, what it says, we should focus on Jesus, whom God provided us the way to have eternal relations with himself. There's no other name or way. Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. God did not choose the Jews because they deserved to be chosen, but because he wanted to show his love and mercy to them. For it would be through them that his Messiah would come into the world. God chose not to play favorites, but so that they would tell the world about his plan of salvation. Another one was Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If we believe in our hearts and say to our mouths that Christ is risen alone, we will be saved. That is stated. Second Colossians 6:2. For he saith, I heard three in a time except in the day of salvation, I have scorched thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God offers salvation to all people. Many people put off decision of Christ thinking there's a better time, but they could easily miss their opportunity together. The time is now. Now, one of the things I found that was kind of give me a little bit of a better feeling, but it came off of another website, and it's called the Bible Study Tools website. And its explanation is what it thought was. And this is what it says. Romans 8:29 says God foreknew. That means God knew in advance those who would choose to follow him and those who would choose not to follow him. The ones he knew in advance are the ones he predestined to be conformed to the image of God. In other words, God's predestination is based on his foreknowledge, not on his random selection. So, you know, that's because we can't deny that God knows everything. We can't, you know, there's no way we can comprehend what God's powers are. It's unextended. Our tiny little brain just can't comprehend that. It never will. Without understanding salvation is a random act. God chooses who he will save and not who he will not save. Remove our free will from the process. I don't think the rest of the scriptures can completely support that argument. The Bible is clear. We have a choice to make. Too many places in scriptures point to our free will deciding to follow Christ. With your eternal destination at stake, it makes sense when it comes to your salvation that you choose wisely. This matter more than anything else. The question of free will will probably be a debate we'll have until Jesus comes again. Let's focus on what we can agree on regarding the gospel message and its power to change lives. Let's not be distracted by whether it's free or not, free will or not. Let's make the gospel available to as many people as possible. That, I believe, is the responsible thing to do. We have a choice as to whether we will do that. And the author of this was Clarence L. Haynes, Jr., co-founder of the Bible Study Group. Thank you.